We have started a series on dealing with our emotions. And I think any of us realize that is a hard thing to do. When we consider dealing with our emotions, we're tempted to think that we can't do it. We cannot successfully do that, at least not all the time. I mean, after all, when you consider such things as fear, anger, worry, desire, I think most of us are forced to admit that often it seems that we're not able to control emotions. Try as we might, we find ourselves on the losing side of an inner battle. And to be honest and the truth be told, we in and of ourselves are incapable of consistently and always conquering our emotions. They often come up and bite us and win. Then what are we going to do? Well, although we in and of ourselves cannot win the fight, we can victoriously fight our emotions and face them with God's powerful help. We know that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within each one of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised in John 14, "For he, the Spirit, dwells with you and will be in you." So let's consider the men he said that originally to, the apostles. Before the Holy Spirit came to dwell in them and to empower them, they were dominated with an emotion, the emotion of fear. When Christ was arrested, they all fled in fear. Even Peter denied even knowing Jesus Christ because he was afraid. On the day of Christ's resurrection, where do we find the apostles? Hiding in a room, hoping that nobody would come to arrest them. But only a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God filled them with power, they boldly proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah and the only way of salvation. Later, when the high court of the Jewish people demanded that they keep silence, they boldly replied, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Acts chapter 4. Wow. What made the difference between them cowering in fear and now boldly proclaiming such a message? Well, Acts chapter 4 tells us that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who dwelt with them empowered them to overcome that emotion of fear and boldly proclaim the message God had given them. And that same Spirit of God lives within each one of us who know Christ. And we can victoriously face our emotions also. We say, "I can't do it." No, not of ourselves, but with Him we can. Indeed, the Apostle Paul writes here in Ephesians chapter 8, verse 18, chapter 5, verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." That is the secret of victoriously dealing with our emotions. Just as the apostles were filled with the Spirit and overcame their fear, so we can be filled with the Spirit and we can face our emotions. Now, we can learn just at the very beginning four important truths about being filled with the Spirit, just in the words we've looked at. He said, "Be filled." That's an imperative. That's a command to believers. It's not a suggestion. It's not, "Well, if you'd like to be filled, go ahead and be filled." Or, you know, "It'd probably be nice for you to be filled." It's God's command. He wants each of us to be filled, which makes the second part. The command is in the plural in the original Greek. In other words, all Christians are to be filled, not just a select few. We like to say, "Well, yeah, the missionaries need to be filled. The Bible teachers at colleges need to be filled, and in our Christian day schools need to be filled. The Sunday school teachers and pastors and evangelists, all of those workers need to be filled." Yes, we do. But all of us need to be filled with the Spirit. It's in the plural. The verb is also in the present tense. In other words, keep on being filled. It's not, well, I was filled once and that's all that's necessary. No, if we read in the book of Acts over and over and over and over again, the apostles and workers were filled with the Spirit. And that's what it's to be in our lives. We are consistently and constantly to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's interesting. The verb is also in the passive. In other words, we don't do it ourselves. We don't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves and we let the Spirit of God fill us. Therefore, we already learned, all believers are commanded by God to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us on a continual, constant basis. Here's the point this morning. Pay attention, please. If you are to successfully deal with your emotions, God must be in control of your life. Let me say that again. This is our theme. This is what I want you to take away from this. If you are to successfully deal with your emotions, God must be in control of your life. Now, since this is true, we need to find the answers to three important questions today. First of all, what does that mean? We're to be filled with the Spirit, but what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? I remember reading many books about being filled with the Spirit and the results. I remember hearing messages, but sometimes you wonder, well, what all does that mean? Well, we need to think about that. And sometimes it helps us to know in the negative what it's not, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. Being filled with the Spirit is not the same as being baptized by the Spirit. Some people want to use these terms interchangeably. They're not the same. Being baptized by the Spirit is a one-time alone occurrence. It places us within the spiritual body of Christ, the spiritual church. We are taught in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were, notice that's a past tense, we were all baptized into one body. That happened. If you accepted Christ as Savior, that's already happened to you. It occurred the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit of God placed you into the spiritual body of Christ. You were baptized by the Spirit. Now, in the book of Acts, we find the apostles were baptized by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But they were filled over and over and over again as we read through the book of Acts. It's not the same. And the same is true for us. We are never commanded to be baptized by the Spirit. That's an accomplished fact. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That's a desired possibility. It's not the same. Secondly, being filled with the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. Some people say, well, you need to speak in tongues. You need to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues. But you see, all believers have already been baptized by the Spirit. That happened when we accepted Christ. Not all believers are to speak in tongues. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, later on in that chapter, verse 30, do all have the gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? And the way it's arranged in the Greek, there's an expected answer to these questions. No. No, all don't speak in tongues. We've all been baptized. We've all are also to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. But not all people spoke with tongues, even if it was a gift current for the day, which I don't believe it is. Therefore, the filling of the Spirit is not speaking in tongues, or any other exorbitant, exotic display of emotions or something going on today. Thirdly, being filled with the Spirit is not getting more of the Spirit. You see, we often think about being filled with the Spirit, we think of ourselves as a glass. We think of the Spirit as being a pitcher of water and we're going to get more water in it, so He's going to pour more of the Holy Spirit within us. No, it is not the idea of quantity. It's the idea here other that we let Him have more of us. You see, at the moment we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. He's a person. You don't get more of a person. You know, if somebody comes to your house and walks into your house, we don't say, is there any more of you going to come in? No, they come in. The Holy Spirit of God has come and dwelt within us. That's the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit. We can't. But there is a sense in which the Holy Spirit gets more of us. In other words, as we turn more and more of our lives over to Him. Lord, here's not just my spiritual or religious aspect of my life, but here's my business aspect of my life. Here's my home aspect of my life. Here's my community aspect of my life. Here's my hobbies and my everything else. Here's everything of me. Take every part of my life. Again, it's like having a visitor come into your house. When they come into your house, you might say, okay, you come into my front room, I don't want you anywhere else. I mean, my house is a mess. I don't want you to see what's in the hallways. I don't want you to see what's in my kitchen. I don't want you to see the dirty dishes. I don't want you to see my house. You stay in the front room. He has partial access to the house. But when a guest comes into your house and you say, you go anywhere in the house, that's what we're saying to the Holy Spirit. Not just I'm going to restrict you to this area of my life, but have all of me. Have my entire life. So it's not getting more of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is being controlled. Controlled by the Spirit. That's simply put. The word filled means controlled by. To be filled with something means you're controlled by it. Let me give you a couple examples. In Luke chapter 4, verse 28, those in the synagogue were filled with anger, with wrath. In other words, they let anger control them, and they tried to kill Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, verse 45, the Jews, and it says, were filled with envy. That is, they were controlled by their envy. And because of that, they opposed Paul's preaching. When you're controlled by something, when you're filled with something, you're controlled by it. If you're filled with love, love controls you. If you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God controls you. Therefore, simply put, to be filled with the Spirit simply means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So, that's what it means to be filled. Second question. Well, how can I know? How can I know that I am filled with this Holy Spirit? If God tells me to be and I want to be, how do I know when it happens? Well, Paul gives us three results here in this passage of being filled with the Spirit. First of all, the Spirit-filled believer is joyful. Joyful. Be filled with the Spirit. What does it say? Speaking to yourselves, to one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When the Holy Spirit of God fills us or controls us, we're joyful. You know, often when we're joyful, songs just kind of are there. I mean, you got a raise and you're walking around your business and you're just kind of humming to yourself. Or you get good news. And you're happy. What happens? You find yourself humming or singing to yourself. Maybe not singing out loud if you're like me and don't have a great voice. But you're at least singing to yourself. It's a song that wells up within your being. Galatians 5 tells us that joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our life to produce fruit. One of those aspects of fruit is joy. Well, what about when things are going wrong? Well, Christian joy is a deep experience of adequacy and confidence in spite of the circumstances around us. The Christian can be joyful even in the midst of pain and suffering. As we saw in our Sunday school lesson today, even in trials, we can have joy. This kind of joy is not a thermometer. It's a thermostat. Instead of rising and falling with the circumstances, it determines the spiritual temperature of the circumstances. As we go through the book of Acts, we see the apostles were joyful, even when persecuted. Acts chapter 5, the apostles are beaten by the Sanhedrin, and they go out, and what do? They rejoice that they are worthy to suffer for Christ. They're filled with joy. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are thrown into the inner prison. They're put in there in stocks. And at midnight, what are they doing? They're singing praises to God. Did they enjoy the pain? No. Did they enjoy the circumstances? No. But even in the circumstances, they were filled with joy. So let me ask a question. Are you joyful? Are you joyful? If not, you're not spirit-controlled. You're not spirit-filled. And you're disobeying God. Secondly, the spirit-filled believer is thankful. Be filled with the Spirit, what? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit of God controls us, we are thankful. Too often we get the blessings of God and we're just not thankful. We need to be thankful. Warren Wiersbe points out something interesting. Our word in English, gratitude, has the same root as our word grace. If we have experienced the grace of God, we ought to be grateful for what God brings to us. Likewise, the word thank and the word think come from the same root word. The more we think, the more we have to be thankful for. Are you thankful? If you're not thankful, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you are not obeying God. Thirdly, the Spirit-filled believer is submissive. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When the Spirit of God controls us, we are submissive. That doesn't mean that we let people walk all over us. It does not mean that we're any less than somebody else. Submission has nothing to do with our goodness or somebody being better than someone else. Rather, it is a line of authority. A private in the army may be a better person. He may be smarter. He may be more athletic. He may be more spiritual than a captain. But there has to be a line of authority, or there's chaos. As believers, we are to be submissive to authority, which has been established to God. And did you notice here, we are to submit one to another. It goes around. And he gives examples. The husband is to submit by sacrificially loving their wives. Wives are to submit by respecting their husbands and following his leadership. Children are to submit by obeying their parents. On the other hand, parents submit by raising their children correctly for God. He goes on in the next chapter that employees submit by faithfully working for their employers. But employers are to submit by caring for and fairly supplying for the needs of their employees. It goes all around. In all cases, it's a mutual submission under God, because ultimately we are submitting to God's authority. Are you submissive? If not, you're not filled or controlled by the Spirit, and you're not obeying God. Well, okay, I know what it is. I know how to see if I have it in my life. Then thirdly, I say, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, that's what I desire. How can I be filled with God's Holy Spirit? May I suggest three things? First of all, yield. Yield yourself to God. We're not going to be submitted to God and His control unless we submit to Him, unless we yield to Him. We read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, basically we would say today, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul says, submit yourself. His use of the word body here speaks of our total being. Body, soul, and spirit. Total commitment. If we are to be filled or controlled by God's Spirit, we have to yield ourselves to God. We have to say, Lord, I want to be controlled by you. I give myself. I yield myself to you. Secondly, saturate. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Paul wrote Ephesians while he was imprisoned in Rome. He also wrote some other letters at the time. We call them the prison epistles or the prison letters. Another letter he wrote at the same time was the book of Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Paul deals with the same subject of being controlled by God with the same three results: being joyful, thankful, and submissive. But notice how he begins. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wait a second. Didn't that sound very familiar of what he just wrote in Ephesians? You see, Paul equates being filled with God's word as being the same as being filled with God's Holy Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will be filled with the Word of God. If you're filled with the Word of God, then you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be controlled by one is to be controlled by the other. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the Word of God. And if we're going to let the Word of God dwell in us richly, we must do it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, it must be in accordance to the Word of God. Please do not come to me and tell me that you're filled with the Spirit if you're living in disobedience to the Word of God. Because you're not. They go together. That is also one of the reasons that we should regularly and consistently be reading and studying the Bible. I know you hear me say that over and over and over again, and you think I'm just beating the same drum, but that is the secret to the Christian life and the Spirit-filled life. We need to know the Word and be in the Word and let the Word of God control us and the Spirit of God control us. Therefore, if you want to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, you must yield yourself to God. You must saturate yourself in the Word of God. May I suggest one other thing? Live in the presence of God. Yield, saturate, and live. Live in the very presence of God daily. Paul writes in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. The Bible often presents and refers to a person who is living in God's presence as walking with God. Are you walking with God? If we're to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, we must walk with God. So if we're fellowshipping with God regularly in His Word and with prayer, if we're yielding ourselves to Him, then we will walk with Him on a daily basis. And it is this way that we allow ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, though we may not always be able to control our emotions in our own strength, we can successfully face our emotions in the power of the Holy Spirit when we allow Him to fill us and control our lives. I end with a question. Are you willing? Are you willing to surrender yourself to God's control? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for your word. And we often want to make it so complex, but it's so simple. Lord, please fill us with the Holy Spirit. May He control us. Dear Lord, may we yield. Father, may we saturate. May we live. For you, to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? Let's close our time together this morning with this song. Softly and gently.
God be with you this week. May God bless you. You are dismissed.